This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 37, How to Build and Monetize an Online Forum.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 37, How to Build and Monetize an Online Forum. My guest is Tess Strand from virtualassistantforums.com. Tess and I met over the summer at World Domination Summit. I was excited to hear her story and about her business, so I invited her to join me on the show. Your show notes and links are at sidehustlenation.com/episode37. Before we get into it, a couple quick shouts for new 5-star iTunes review. And I read these just because they get me pumped up and, you know, to keep putting out the show each week. So they might be boring to you, but bear with me because I like to, you know, when people say nice things about me. So ML Wilkinson says, can't get enough 5 stars. He says, in this show, I discovered Nick's show when I was at work looking for something entertaining to listen to. Like, oh man, don't get in trouble at your day job. It's not worth it. But I do kind of love the fact that people are listening at work. He says, the show inspired me to start a podcast of my own, which is awesome. And he ends with, because you're 5-to-9 makes you alive. Love it. And then Indie Franchise Law says, love the show, great podcast. Nick is a, he says, keep up the great work. So thank you guys so much for those reviews. And you can leave a review of your own and get your own shout out on the show at sidehustlenation.com/iTunes. Anyways, with that, let's get right into the conversation with Tess. You're going to like this one. Tess, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hi, Nick. Thanks.
Tess Strand is a business consultant, virtual assistant, and founder of virtualassistantforums.com, which she started in 2007 and now has more than 7,000 members. It's the leading online forum for virtual assistants. We're going to talk all about how to build up a site like that and how to monetize it. So let's, you know, take me back in time to the very, I guess, idea stage. When did the light bulb go off for to start this forum?
At the time I was living abroad. I was living in India for a number of years, and I'd run out of money. And I'd done like radio voiceover in Bangalore, and I'd done a few fashion shows, and rupees to dollars, it just wasn't cutting it. So I thought, I need to figure out a way to make American dollars again. Okay. I went online and found a client, a woman in the publishing industry in New York who needed admin help. And I worked with her for a while. Eventually I got so many referrals that my practice was full,
but you were a virtual assistant in India, but not in the, you know, idea that comes to mind for most people.
I know it's really, the irony does not escape me, believe me.
Okay.
And so after about a year I'd been operating, I really didn't know what a virtual assistant was though. And I had a client who wasn't paying her invoices. So I needed some feedback, some support from other small business owners. And I went online looking for that information. And I found a couple of virtual assistant communities. And I was like, wow, I'm a virtual assistant. That's so cool to have, you know, to finally have a word to describe what I was doing and to realize there was this burgeoning industry that I was part of. And then reality hit when I tried to join one of them and they said, sorry, no dice. You don't have 5 years experience in an office.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, what? You're kidding, right? Because I've been doing this for a year and everybody loves me and I'm really good. And how can you say I'm not a virtual assistant? Like, what are the rules? And so I started thinking about it and I realized that if there were people that were that invested in telling me that I couldn't be a part of an industry that I was already operating in successfully, that there were probably a whole lot of other people like me out there. And I wanted to create a community that was like, hey, you know what? It's not my job to tell you what you can and can't be. It's my job to help you find the information you need and you sink or swim on your own.
Right.
So that's when I started the forums. That was, by then I think we had moved to Nepal and it was something I worked on almost full time. The cost of living in Nepal is really cheap. And so it was, I was able to kind of balance working for clients a little bit and really focusing on the forums
Okay.
in the early days.
So what kind of investment are we looking at to get started? Is there, you know, there's a hosting expense. Is there any special software that you had to buy? Any like technical, like are you the programming side of it too? Or did you have to hire that out?
So that's like a multi-part question. I'll try to, I'll start with the first one. Let's see, the software. Excuse me. So I run my site on vBulletin. It's a paid software. I'm not running the current version of vBulletin. I think they're on like vBulletin 5.1 or something right now, but it's not particularly stable. So I'm still running an older version. In any case, it's paid. I paid like a one-time fee and then like yearly for support. I like it. It's really robust. But I've seen other community softwares since then that are, I think, are interesting and might be useful. You know, you don't have to go with vBulletin, but I like how well-rounded it is. They have a lot of, it's been around for a long time, so there's a lot of hacks and plugins.
Do you remember what the one-time fee was to get started with it?
That was about 7 years ago. And since then they've completely revamped their business model. So at the time, I think it was less than $200.
Oh, okay.
Now I think it's maybe around $300. It's still very affordable if you know that you want to do it long term. But there's also free forum software like PHPBB. It's completely free. It's just not quite as full featured. So there are options that you can use to create a community that don't cost anything. Okay. And then some people use like Ning and that kind of thing. Hosting in the early days, we have always had a virtual dedicated server anyway, because we just had numerous websites associated with our company. But so the hosting was minimal in the beginning. Traffic was not a problem. But there were a few years where I was paying $300 a month for hosting. And I've just moved to a new server about a year ago to get the cost down. And I pay about $200 a month for the server. And that's mostly to handle the traffic on virtual assistant forums and just to make sure that we have regular backups and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then what was the other question you asked me? Programming. So now I know HTML. I run the site on my own. But as far as like the hard programming, I didn't do any of that.
Gotcha. So the software is pretty user-friendly, but there's still some, if you want to make some custom tweaks to it, that's when you're going to need some of the technical expertise.
Yeah, but it's now I have a guy. There's a guy in London who works with me updating stuff that I need changed. And it's not hugely expensive, but it just kind of depends on what you want to do with the website.
Right, on just kind of a one-off project basis. I think that's a good way to get it done. Now, okay, so the forum is up and running. We've got the vBulletin software going. We've got the hosting set up. But forum is a pretty lonely place without the conversation going, without the initial members. Like, what did you do to kind of get that initial momentum and get people to join up for the site?
I have screenshots of like five people online and I'm so excited, like five people online at the same time. And I have screenshots of 20 people and 30, you know, so I have these screenshots of up to 500 people online at the same time over the course of the years. In the beginning, I literally watched, because the virtual assistant industry, I mean, it's still growing, but at the time it was sort of, I don't know, really early days. There were a lot of press releases for new virtual assistant service providers. And I would watch Google News and I would email them directly. And I'd say, welcome to the industry. Congratulations on your new business. There's this forum. If you'd like to come and hang out and, you know, talk about business, I'm here. So I was literally inviting people one at a time. I did a few press releases. I didn't do a lot of networking on other forums because I don't believe in stealing traffic and users from other people's markets. So I wasn't present there. I let that happen organically. Other people would mention it on the other forums. People would come over. And then once Twitter became popular, I started using Twitter and that helped bring people in a lot. But honestly, the very first year or two, it was literally inviting people to come.
For using Twitter, you could do, you can just set up a search for people who are tweeting about being virtual assistant and be, oh, hey, by the way, you know, you should come check out my forum.
Yeah, just kind of watching people's conversations and being friendly and letting them know, hey, there's this resource. Like if they had a question about something that was really not going to fit into 140 characters, invite them over to the forums to talk. And it grew pretty quickly after that. I have a really strong sense of I guess, online karma. And I really wanted a community where people were kind to each other and supportive, not necessarily competitive. And I think that really helped grow the community. It spread by word of mouth pretty fast after that, so, which was nice.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I can see how there could be a little bit of a competitive environment if everyone is trying to go after the same limited pool of clients, and on the other hand, they're trying to, like, you know, help each other out and, you know,
right,
get to each other. So what were there any specific tactics to kind of foster this initial engagement and kind of this sense of a virtual community? Like, hey, you know, you're part of this growing industry that, you know, now there's a lot of confusion over the terminology. People, you know, immediately think of that virtual assistant in India, or they think of Siri on their phone or something like that. But I guess, like, from a strategic level as a site owner, anything you did to kind of build that initial engagement on the site?
Well, just in terms of the energy and the attitude of the community, I led by example. I didn't tolerate any like snarky comments, and I would make sure that people understood that it was a supportive environment and that kind of thing. As far as educating and evangelizing about the industry, that came as, you know, it just has been an ongoing process. It's organic. As I've learned more about the public perception of what a VA is, I've kind of altered the way we present information on virtual assistant forums. And the site has gone through many iterations. We've had sections devoted to clients and articles about how to work with a VA and that kind of thing. And then I finally just created an offshoot devoted strictly to the client side of the market, and that's Virtual Assistantville. And so there's a book there and there's a blog. And the forums really mainly are, and we do get people, like clients, registering at the forums thinking that they're going to come in and find a VA or they want to learn about the industry. And it's strictly for virtual assistants and online business managers and people who are interested in learning more about working from home. So I just try to keep the content very focused, pretty strict about who gets to be a part of the community actively. So it hasn't really been that much of a problem separating those two things. But there are definitely conversations on the forum where people are like, you know, I'm on Elance and I'm competing against people in Romania for $4 an hour. I mean, those issues exist.
Yeah,
and they do come
sure
up. So it's just part of the process. It's a growing industry and it's global. And that's just, you know, it's part of the deal. So
now, at what point is this self-sustaining? Obviously, you know, now with 7,000 members and the community is going strong, but like, you know, 100 people, 1,000 people, like, at what point did you know, like, okay, this is going to be around long term? This is going to be a viable business?
That's a really hard question to answer, actually, because it wasn't a business for me to be like in the first place. It literally was like, you said I can't be a virtual assistant. Well, check it out. I mean, really, it was. And so it wasn't like, I'm going to make money doing this. I hadn't even thought about selling advertising on the site. It was literally just about growing the community. And the other thing that I did early on was I made sure the community was focused on itself and not on me. I wasn't interested in being a talking head.
Right.
I wasn't interested in being anyone's guru. I wanted to provide the information. And I think that made a big difference in helping the community grow. Self-sustaining, do you mean like when it paid for itself?
I don't know. Like, I guess without the, you know, as maybe you're no longer having to go out and proactively, you know, solicit new members, you know, maybe that's coming from within or something.
Yeah, no, I don't have to do that anymore. We're very well ranked in the search engines. So a lot of times people who are just learning about the industry will find us. And then of course, word of mouth. There's a lot of word of mouth. It was pretty, I mean, I don't know that there was ever a time when I thought, wow, this isn't going to work, because I just kept doing it. So it wasn't like I wasn't looking at the money at the time. So there was no question to me whether or not it would be viable. I knew that it would happen because I could see what else was in the market. I could see what was available to people. And I knew that there was a hole that I could fill. It was just a matter of time.
Right. It was a very long-term play, which,
yeah,
I think is a smart way to go about
it. Running a community is definitely not like a quick and fast way to make a buck. There's no doubt about that. It's a labor of love for sure.
What do you think? Like, are we like, has the golden age of forums, you know, come and gone with like the rise of, you know, private Facebook groups and stuff like that?
No, in fact, I would disagree completely. I think that forums are sort of the original social media.
For sure.
And I think that done well, a forum can be more enticing, more rewarding for its members than a Facebook group. Facebook is nice. I just had a conversation the other day. Facebook is not my favorite tool for marketing. You know, when you just think about the way conversations are threaded on Facebook, if you have a really active group, it can be very difficult to keep track of what's been said and who said what to whom and where you left the conversation. And on a forum, it's more linear. And so conversations are very well taxonomized. It's clear where the thread starts and where the thread ends and where the next thread begins. And they're all very clearly titled. And Facebook probably eventually will figure out a way to fix that. But right now, that's a huge problem, because if you have a Facebook group with more than, say, 20 people and everyone's active, the conversations become very jumbled and there's not a lot of direction and organization.
No, I've been in that boat of trying to like, oh, I remember this one guy, he mentioned some resource, but it was like, you know, 2 months ago. And so you're like scrolling infinitely down trying to find, you know, don't remember what keyword was used, and that can be a mess. So I understand like the search function on the forum would be, that would be much easier to go back and kind of see that archived information.
I think for a really big growing community, a forum just has a better structure. Facebook, I think, is appealing to people because it has the tendency to go viral. Somebody clicks like, somebody else clicks like, you know, it gets shared on your Facebook page, whatever. And that's, there's value in that for sure. But if what I'm really trying to do is create good content, my concern is not necessarily that the content goes viral. It's that there's solid content out there for people to land on time and time again.
Yeah. And with 7,000 members creating all this user generated content for them, I mean, Google is churning that up and they're loving it. You know, is all of this stuff crawlable? I guess on one forum I have, they have like a private section and like a public section.
I have a number of private forums. They came into being over time. I think the first time I realized we needed a private forum was when somebody came and posted about a client and they were really, really angry. And it was like, well, you know, maybe we don't want to present ourselves in this way to the world. Like, I get that we all have issues and it's okay to rant and vent, but we didn't need that to be public. So I created a client relations issues.
client rant that, private forum.
That was the first private forum. And now we have a couple more. It just gives people a place to post where they know that they're not going to be indexed by the search engines. I think in terms of professionalism, it's really important to give people that outlet. So yeah, I have 3 or 4 private forums now.
Okay. Do you get a problem? It seems like forums can be spam magnets. Like people just want a link in their signature for SEO. And so they'll kind of one and done post and you'll never hear from again. And it's like, this had nothing to do with anything. Okay, thanks. Is it time consuming to deal with moderation and that stuff?
It was for a long time. I've got it down to a science now, though. I never get spam. Now, after this airs, people are going to be like, I can spam your form. I never get spam. But in the beginning, yeah, it was a learning experience. I mean, I moderate all of my incoming members personally. So I look at the list of people waiting to be approved. And if the registration looks spammy, but maybe it's a human and I'm not sure, I send them a note that says, sorry, no dice, but if you want to try to register again, here's what you can do. And I invite them to email me basically and say, hey, real person. And then I approve everyone who's, you know, obviously a business owner. But as far as spam on the boards, I mean, it was getting through. I actually had people from other VA communities spamming my forums, like, hey, come to the best virtual assistant forum on the web. And
you're like, really? Come on.
Yeah, really? This is really how we're going to play this game. So I just over time implemented a lot of rules about, I mean, and they're gentle, and it grew to this huge list. And I was like, okay, this is not how I operate. I'm not a dictator. So I went back through the rules and kind of minimized it. That really people have, because you want the people to feel free to communicate, but you want there to be sort of a level of respect for the community itself.
Yeah.
So as far as spam about Nokia phones and that kind of thing, I never get that.
Okay.
The people who post with a one-off, I have things in place like they have to post 25 times before they can access the premium features. We don't have anything that's paid, but what I would consider a premium feature, the payment to get in is 25 posts on the board or 50 posts on the board. And so I get to see people's activity over time. And it's pretty obvious from the beginning. And I don't read every post. I used to read every single post on my forum. now I can't, but I do get like a kind of a random selection of new posts in my email so that I can scan things and make sure that everything's going according to plan. The other thing that's nice is vBulletin has a report post feature so that anyone on the boards can report a post that's spammy.
Okay.
And every once in a while, it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while, a member will send me a note and be like, I think this is spam. So the community itself works to keep it clean.
Yeah, they can kind of police themselves, which is awesome.
Yeah, but yes, forums are horrible spam magnets. It's like the word. I get hundreds of registrations a day from spam. We were talking about this before we started the show. If I actually kept every registration that I'd ever had, I'd have like 100,000 members. But yeah. I am really careful to delete all of the inactive accounts. So yeah. We have 7,000 active people who don't spam the board.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
So let's get down to the money, which I think everyone is curious about. So the forum, it's free to join. It costs you money to host and do all this stuff. But it's providing a valuable service. So how do you go about monetizing a site like this?
So a couple of years ago, I guess I would say after I'd been running the site for about 3 years, I realized I was putting a lot of time and a lot of energy and just a lot of work and finances into the site. And I love the idea that I'm helping other people find freedom in their lifestyle and helping people develop businesses. That's so amazing. But the reality is I still have to pay for the server.
Yeah.
So I did start at that time thinking about, okay, how can I monetize? The first thing I did, and I'd always said the forums would be free. The forums will always be free, no matter what. And so there were days when I'd like, if I could just charge $1 for every member, but I can't do that because I want to stand by what I said. So I started selling advertising in the sidebar. And that took off pretty quick, actually. We got a lot of really interested advertisers, and okay. I did that for a long time. We use Google AdSense. I've got a couple affiliate relationships that are really nice. I'm very, very picky about who I promote, though. So usually it's like a person as opposed to a product.
Yeah.
And I'll bring them on the forums and introduce them to the market. But honestly, the site really started to become valuable to me in terms of income when I wrote the Become a Virtual Assistant ebook. That changed everything, because I've been watching the forums for so many years and seeing people asking the same questions over and over again. I just realized, what if I pulled everything into a book that's really affordable? And it took off like wildfire. It by itself has made more money than anything I've done on the forums.
Wow, and that's awesome. And that's perfect example of, you know, using this kind of crowdsourced intelligence and, you know, the common questions that you know people are going to have, and just compile that. Hey, you don't have to go searching around. The answers are all right here for $29.95. I don't know how much it costs, but like, you know, whatever it is.
It's $49.
Okay.
And but the thing about it is that people can find everything that's in my book is on the forums. It's just a matter of doing the legwork and, you know, putting the documents together.
Yeah.
But by pulling the book together and putting all the documents that people need to start their business in one place, it's like people were thirsty for this kind of roadmap. And it's been really popular. Now it's available in paper and we have it on Kindle and it's PDF. So that's been really fun to see that happen.
Have you tested any like in text or in context ads? It's like those like mouse over things or something like skim links where
no,
it like automatically affiliates your outbound links.
No, I'm really picky about the way my content is presented. When I land on a website, if I have, you know, if there's links and stuff everywhere that are not informational links, I just find it really annoying.
Yeah.
And my market doesn't tolerate that kind of stuff very well. They're pretty savvy. Most of them are women, but they're all like, you know, a lot of them are work at home moms, and they see the world in this way of like, stop selling to me,
yeah.
You know? And so out of respect for the growth that they're doing in terms of business, I just like, I figure why stuff advertising into every little thing. So no, I don't do any in-text. I've never done any of that.
Okay.
We do like forum sponsorships. So there will be banners at the top of the forum. And obviously once in a while I'll send out a message to the membership and be like, hey, I got, you know, there's this great deal from so-and-so, and I'll probably get an affiliate kickback for that. But other than that, I try to not be too invasive.
Gotcha. So the ads in the sidebar, sponsorships, some affiliate stuff, AdSense, the virtual, how to become a virtual assistant ebook, anything else? I mean, this is a pretty good, like, diversified stream of different revenue streams. Are there any, like, kind of advanced courses or other things that you're putting on for to earn some money?
We do, actually. So the book itself was so incredibly popular. It was the most fun thing I think I've ever done. Was like, wow, really? I made that happen. Yeah, it was really fun. But it grew out of that. People were like, well, we really just want the chapter on contracts. So that became a product by itself. And oh, we really want to know how to create a welcome packet for our clients. So we have that product as well. And all of those have sample contracts and all those things built in, which is really nice for people to access. But beyond that, I started thinking about what else was available in the industry. And there's a lot of classes out there that are very, very expensive. And that's not to say they're good or bad. They're just expensive. And the thing about virtual assistant forums is accessibility. I really want everything to be accessible. I don't want to put up roadblocks for people. I want people to be able to spend more time with their families and do something that's rewarding and not have to go to the factory every day.
Yeah.
So my colleague Michelle Mangin and I developed a class around my book called Virtual Assistant Business Jumpstart. And Michelle teaches 10 to 15 VAs at a time over a 6-week period. And that's, I mean, I have to pay my teacher, so I'm not making a ton of money on that, but that's been such a really fun addition to the, for me, that's really more about watching people move forward quickly than it is about making money, but it all adds up. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Forums don't cost me money anymore, which is really a nice place to be.
that's a bonus. If it makes a little bit on the side, that's great too.
Right.
Plus, well, you know, if nothing else, you positioned yourself as a leader in the space, and I think that's worth something too.
That's what I've heard. I don't know if I'm willing to accept that role, but yeah, that's what I've been told.
So what do you think? Like, is a forum a viable side hustle? Like, if you had to start over, would you do it differently?
Oh, gosh. Well, if I was coming at it, you know, I thought about this a lot when I was thinking about talking to you today. If I was going to come at it as, like, what can I do to make money? No, of course not. It's like, because it really is a labor of love. There's no such thing as quick and easy with a forum because it's so much process and community building. However, I will say in the long run, absolutely. I mean, if you have the time and the patience to invest and grow something, and ultimately what better way is there to have long-term passive income than something that has deep roots in an industry?
Yeah, no kidding. An asset with this kind of engaged community, this many, you know, page views and whatever other metrics, like that's got some value for sure.
Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere. The virtual assistant industry will change and it will grow, but it's definitely not going to disappear. And so the fact that this community exists long term, it's smart for me to continue to invest in it. But if I could, there were definitely points where I was like, I don't want this anymore because that's a lot of work.
And yeah.
So I have mixed feelings. If somebody asked me if a forum was a really good way to make extra money, I would probably say no. I think that if you really are passionate about a topic or an industry and you want to make extra money, a good place to start would be maybe blogging. And then at the end of a year, pull your content together and make a book. And that way you're creating a community around your blog in the meantime. And if it grows, then great, plop, you know, stick a forum in there and let it grow further. But starting a forum from scratch in this day and age when that's the thing. Facebook was just barely becoming sort of mainstream. There was no Twitter. I think MySpace was like where.
right. I mean, this started back in the day. It's ancient history.
Right. So I had relatively less competition, and because my industry was really new, I guess it just depends. There's I don't know that there's a litmus test that I can, you know, say yes or no to any particular niche or topic. The universe was conspiring with me. It was meant to be. That's all I know.
Well, it sounds like it's working out pretty well for you. Even after it was a, you know, if you average out the, you know, hourly rate over the course of the first 3 years where there was nothing, no ads, no nothing, you know, maybe it's not so good. But now you've built up this asset and it seems to be doing very well. Now, Tess, we'll wrap up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Oh my gosh. My number one tip for Side Hustle Nation would be to find something that you're passionate about to put your time and energy into. That's the thing about virtual assistant forums. There were definitely days when I would wake up and be like, I'm tired of moderating and, you know, I'm not making any money. But because I loved it and I loved seeing people grow their businesses, I kept it going and here we are. And it's this 2014 actually promises to be really insanely crazy and fun for virtual assistant forums. So I think really finding where your heart is and what your passion is the best place to start when you're looking for a way to start a side hustle or make passive income. Because why put your energy into something that isn't going to be rewarding emotionally? So
yeah, I'm with you. I think that's awesome. And, you know, passion can be overplayed in some ways, depending on what it is. But you're totally right. Like if you're going to, you know, this is your side hustle. This is something you're doing in your spare time. Like the last thing you need is another job you end up hating. Like that would be the worst case scenario, even if it does make money. It's like, you know, why life is short. If you are doing something you don't like, you're going to get burned out.
Right. I guess maybe passion is the wrong word, but who has time to put energy into something that isn't fun? Like, who cares how much money it's, you know, it's like anything that you're really going to put yourself into, it's got to be fun. That's my bottom line philosophy.
Definitely. Thank you so much, everybody. Check out virtualassistantforums.com. And if you're on the hiring side, check out virtualassistantville.com and submit a request for proposal over there and get it done. And that's it. The notes and links are going to be at sidehustlenation.com/episode37 test. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Nick. Bye.
Now, I appreciate Tess's honesty in that building a forum really has to be a labor of love, even if that's not necessarily what we want to hear. We love to hear the, you know, the from $18 an hour to $1,000 an hour, you know, in 2 months kind of stories. So building a forum, definitely a long-term play that's not immediately evident how to monetize, although she's done a nice job with that recently with her own products, courses, and affiliate offers. I think this is definitely more of a long-term asset building strategy. It's content marketing, right? But not in the new trendy way of content marketing. It's old school. It's user-generated content, making connections, building that tribe one member at a time. Now, I'm curious, do you participate in any online forums? And have you ever tried to run one? Let me know in the comments at sidehustlenation.com/episode37 or send me a note. It's nick@sidehustlenation.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 38.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.